You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
For 48 years, Mr. Treiber and I have been here, a little over 48, and the church is going to be 49 years old in July. And so we've been here all but about 5 months of that time. And in that time, somehow God took a person like me who really, I was an assistant pastor for 4 years, but I'd get nervous and I'd stutter and stammer. I didn't study to be a pastor. I studied music. And I didn't want to rebel against God. I wanted to be a pastor, but I just knew God could not use someone like me. I knew you had to learn Hebrew, and I could not do that. I knew you had to learn Greek, and I could not do that. And know some Aramaic, and I could not do that. In fact, I knew that because in college I tried to take French, and I did not do well at French. I had to quit that class, only class ever quit. In high school, I tried to take Spanish, and I had to quit that class. I was real good in wood shop and electric shop and metal shop and auto shop. And PE, I was very good at PE, but education was not really my cup of tea. And when I went to college, I said, I'm going to change. Had to take English 99 because I could not pass the entrance exam, but believe it or not, I became a good student. And that's what I've been doing my entire life now for about 55 years, studying every day of my life, most nights. Somehow, in the midst of all that, God gave me the privilege for many Mondays and Tuesdays for the last 40-some years to travel this country and preach. I've never gone to the Niagara Falls. I've never seen downtown New York. I've never seen I've flown over the Statue of Liberty when you used to be able to fly over it. I've stayed next to the Alamo within a half a block, six times. I've never seen the Alamo. I was taught when you go to preach, you don't go on vacation. I've never golfed a game on out preaching on a Monday or Tuesday, ever. I've never done pickleball, nothing. I've never played a sport. I just went and preached. And it's been an amazing journey, and I'm thankful my wife allowed me to do that. A secretary probably 10 years ago said, Pastor, just Los Angeles City area alone, you've preached in that time, she said, 768 times. I've preached in every state, almost every state, all over this country. This spring has been a busy spring for me. And recently, Brother Cooper and I, we preached in Georgia. I left before he got to preach. I'm so sorry I couldn't hear you, but I get to hear tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that Tuesday. I preached on the subject of prayer in Georgia recently. In Mississippi, I preached on a couple other topics. But I just preached not long ago in the Chicagoland area. And the pastor called me about 2 months ago, First Baptist Church of Hammond, Brother Dr. John Wilkerson, my friend. And Brother Wilkerson said, Brother Treiber, I'm going to ask you to preach on this subject on Monday night. You know, I know this is going to sound arrogant. I can preach on some subjects and they're easy. To raise money, that's easy for me. I love doing that. I love preaching on soul winning. I love preaching on building. I love preaching on faith. I love preaching on victory. I love preaching anything with vision. And I don't mean it proud. It's fairly easy to preach on those subjects. But when he told me what I was preaching on, it's probably my weakest area. And it should be my strongest area. He said, our meeting begins on Tuesday night, and he had several of us on a phone call telling us what we were preaching and a prayer meeting going on. And I finally had to leave and go to a meeting, but I said, I'll do that. But I felt so unqualified for the subject. I didn't preach the message that I preached in Georgia, but it's a similar one, a different text, different thought. I preach on the road normally what I've preached here. And now with the internet, you can never preach the same message twice because everybody's heard it, you know. And I get to some churches and they say, please don't, Brother Trevor, don't preach this message. I said, well, I just preached it recently. I said, I know I preach it the next week. So don't preach it because I've already preached it. I've only preached this message one time, and it was about a month ago in Chicago. And I'm not saying it's a home run. I'm saying it was needful that night for me, and it's needful now. It has changed my life for the last 2 months. You know that I've taken the book of Acts. I'm getting where I'm going. And I've outlined the book of Acts, all 28 chapters. I won't go through all of them, but to lay a groundwork. In chapter 2, they're all with the letter P. Chapter 2 is power, the power of the Holy Ghost. Chapter 3 is preaching. Chapter 4 is persecution. Chapter 5 is the pocketbook, Ananias and Sapphira. Chapter 6 is polity, because they organized the church and had deacons and pastors. Chapter 7 is pain. Stephen was stoned. Chapter 8 is plan, God's plan. Chapter 8, verse 1 should have been fulfilled in chapter 1, verse 8. He said, I want you to go to Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth, but they stayed in Jerusalem. So because they did not follow God's command, chapter 8, verse 1, he said, Jesus scattered them. God scattered them, and they went to Judea and Samaria, and people were at it. God's plan was not to stay here and sit and sour and soak. God's plan was to take the gospel to the world. And so chapter number 8 is God's plan. Chapter number 9 is Paul. He was on the Damascus Road and he got saved. Chapter number 10 is Peter. And God said, I want you to take the gospel to the Gentiles as well. Now you can outline the rest, and I've done it as well. But you notice I started in chapter 2. But chapter 2 through 10 that I just talked to you about is not possible without chapter 1. And chapter 1 is my most difficult area of my Christian life. Chapter 1, I try to live it, extensively live it. Long periods of time, every day and or night, I'll try to live it. If I can't sleep tonight, I'll try to live it. It's probably your weakest area as well. Chapter 1 and verse 14 introduces this theme to us. And all continued with one accord in, and what's the letter P? Chapter 1, verse 24. And they prayed. See, we want power with no prayer. We want preaching with no prayer. And I watch it all over the country. People get all fired up. Oh, I love preaching. Love preaching. Bless God. Preaching. How's your prayer life? If you love preaching and you don't pray, your Christianity is not going to last a lifetime. John 15, 5, Jesus said, for without me, ye can do nothing. It's a verse you gave me, Brother Sly, 30 years ago. Nothing. Can't accomplish anything. Now, can I tell you something? I've preached. I know the radio, 15 minutes a day, elementary chapel, high school chapel, college chapel, Wednesday night service, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Every week, someone once added up, they said, you preach about 16 times a week. And then on the road, I preach all the time. And you know what? I'm not saying I'm good. I'm saying I can preach without God. I know this book. I've been studying it for the last 55 years. I've been digesting it. I don't need God's help to preach. And you don't need God's help to sing. But if you're going to glorify God and make it count for eternity, you should not, I should not even open my mouth and try to preach without the touch of God. You cannot raise children without prayer. You cannot have a successful marriage without prayer. You cannot have a successful ministry, whatever successful means. I mean, before this journey's over, I don't know. We've never had a church split. This church could split down the middle, could be empty. I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know this. My Bible says, Jack, your job, men, ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke 18:1. My Bible says, pray, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, without ceasing. My Bible says, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. He that asketh receiveth. And to him that seeketh, he shall find. And he that knocketh, it shall be opened to you. Which of you having a son, if he ask a bread, will he give him a stone? Which of you having a son, if he ask for a fish, will he give a serpent? If ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give to them that ask him? We have not because we ask not. I don't know if there's such a thing in heaven, but if there's a place in heaven that God says one day, come to this big hall, and in this hall are all the prayers I wanted to answer, but you never asked. You never asked. We have a helmet. We have in our garage, there's nothing. We park our cars in there. Nothing's in our garage. It's so small that she pulls in, I have to back in right up against it. It's a real small garage. We can't have a wash machine out there, a dryer out there, nothing. So we just have these two things. We don't put anything there. But there's a little door. And in that door, there's a helmet. It's a helmet that Brother Tim, our son, who's a pastor, is Tim 40 or 41, 40 years of age. When he's about three, he's 37 years old. Joe Montana was the quarterback. Tim talked with a lisp. He doesn't talk with a lisp now, but he had a lisp. And he said, Dad, that's the day we didn't have car seats. And I'm glad we have car seats. He'd sit next to me, that part of the middle of the seat would come down. He'd sit up on top there. I'm glad we have to buckle kids in now. I can't imagine. I see you people driving out of here. Your kids, oh, not out of here. I see people driving, the kids jumping around the back seats. I think, no. Maybe I'm older and I'm nervous, I guess. Buckle them in. See, well, they don't like it. Who runs the home? Tim, he'd sit on that car, that bump, what do you call that thing? Handrest, whatever it is. He'd say, Dad, I think he was going to turn three. Thews. He wanted Joe Montana's type Thews shoes. Socks. Shoulder pads, helmet, shirt, pants. I was going to get it for him. I mean, I was a good dad. We used to have two teams here, one the 49ers and one called the Traitors. And I don't know how anybody would ever like that Raiders team. I have no idea. That's almost as bad as liking the Cowboys. I've never understood all those teams. They get around before a game around that their parole officer in the middle there, the coach, and they allow them to play for the week. It's amazing how many have to play with ankle bracelets on, but nonetheless, they're playing. And Tim wanted Joe Montana's outfit. I knew I could just get it. I just go get it. And the day before I decided, I knew I was going to get it, and I found out you couldn't find them anywhere. Now, I'm going to confess to the church, I do not have the church doing personal things for me. Staff, I don't have them running and doing all my personal little errands. That day I couldn't find it, and I called the staff together. I said, now, ladies, I did tell the deacons, I said, I'm going to tell the deacons what you're going to do. You're going to find me. We didn't have internet. And I said, you're going to find me that all that stuff. And nobody could find it. I went to these toy stores. I looked way up. I said, I need that ladder. I need to go. They said, we can't go up there. I think I see one. No, that's not a, that's a different uniform. I said, I've got to have one. This boy is three tomorrow. I've got to have it. Someone got a hold of me. It didn't have cell phones. And said, there's one in Fremont. Put it on hold, I said. I'll be there. I got it. You know, he got his third. You know why he got it? Importunity. He just kept asking.
Yes, amen.
I'm in the business. I want you to have so much. I've pastored you 48 years. For 47 years, your children have never had a playground. They've never had a blade of grass. That great school, that's great school. It's produced 200 graduates that are in full-time Christian service. It's produced 200 adults that are in this church. It's produced people around the globe, you name it, but what they're doing is great. And as a pastor, it breaks my heart. I'm praying fervently still to this day that God will give us a campus, a school. I said, God, any way you want to do it, if you want to move the college just to a nice, beautiful hotel right nearby, beautiful, beautiful hotel with ballrooms and dining rooms and extra space for staff to live and housing on the 8th and 9th and 10th floor, if that's what you want, I'll be willing to do it. And it'll be a win for them, and it'll be a win to move the school over here and have the park next door. But God, we need it. You say, well, you haven't had it. I know. It took 31 years to ask for this. It took 31 years to ask for all of the radio stations we have. And God gave it after 31 years, and he prayed again, and he prayed again, and he prayed again, and he prayed. I'm just going to keep praying until light breaks through. I heard John Rice, the old prayer warrior, 1966 at the San Jose Fairgrounds, and he said that night, just keep praying. Just keep praying. And he sang the song, just keep on praying till light breaks through. The Lord will answer. He'll answer you. God keeps his promise. His word is true. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. You have anything that you need to pray about? I look at that prayer journal of mine, and I outlined it like the book of John chapter 17 had Jesus prayed first for himself. And I have 6 pages about me. 6 pages that just, and some of those pages, one page I think might have 100 items on there just for me. I have to pray for me. There's many, the first thing I want in my life, I won't go through all the things underneath that. I want to be a man of God, not a preacher. I want to be a man of God. My wife deserves, and your wife deserves, to have a man of God in her home, in her life. I see a lot of folks in this section fanning. Can someone check if the air is on, and if you will, please? And so I say that, and you're not wrong to fan. I just want to get the air moving, whatever we have to do. You know, we can do it for your phone. Isn't that crazy? You can give online with your phone, too, if that's, would not go there. But you know, I want to be a man of God. You know, the second thing I want to be, a good husband. That lady deserves a good husband. Her mom died and left 8 kids when she was 45, a preacher's wife. She needs a good husband. Now, I'm a far cry of what I should be. And I don't pray. God change Cindy. She needs to change this. She needs to be corrected. In fact, there's nothing in my prayer book that needs to change about her. If she thinks she needs to change, that's between her and God. That's not between me and her. May I tell you something? I want to be a man of God. I want to be a husband. I want to be a father. 3 kids, 3 in-laws, 14 grandkids. Their names are listed there. Their date of birth is mentioned there. Their date of baptism is mentioned there. Their date of salvation is mentioned there. The date of their marriage is mentioned there. The needs that I'm praying for in their life, that though we have 22 to care for. And then I want to be a pastor. And there's five Greek words that refer to the pastor. He is the pastor. He is a presbyteros. He's the poimen. He is the keruk. He's the preacher. In addition to a pastor, he's a preacher, and he's a didaskalos, a teacher, and he is a episkopos, an overseer of the assembly, and he's a presbyteros, the president of the assembly. Those are areas I have to, and that's my priority. I don't want to be the presbyteros first. I'm the boss around here. I want to be the pastor. And then I pray that I'd be a good citizen. And I pray that God would give me health for one more day. One more day to live. That takes me so much time just dealing with me. Then I move to my wife. Then I move to my kids. I have the military people that I know, they're on my prayer list. Preachers around the globe. A preacher called me from a distant state this afternoon. I was in the backyard. And he called. I said, I'm so glad you called. I hope everything's okay. But I said, right now, you're not going to believe this, but I'm going to tell you something. Right now, at this very moment, I've been calling your name out before God at this very moment. He said, that's why I'm calling. He has some needs. I don't think that's an accident, ladies and gentlemen. One of America's great preachers. I have missionaries to pray for. I have Baxton. I have people that say they're Christians. I don't think they're Christians. And to put them on that list just breaks my heart. The list goes on and on. Every business person in this church are on my prayer list. Their names are brought before the throne of grace because I need to. We have college students. Before I have the picture of all the students that it's my job to pray for them. And this is just a tip of the iceberg. I'm just saying, I pray. But it's so weak of what it needs to be. In closing, let me try to close it. You say, you're done? Oh, no. But I just give you hope. Don't put your shoes on yet, ladies. We're not done. I see in this chapter prayer. I see patience in prayer. Look what he says in verse number 4. And being assembled together, chapter 1, when they commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but what? Wait. God said, I want you to wait. I want you to wait for power. I want you to wait for instruction. They that wait upon the Lord. You know what the problem with our lives? If we don't get it right now my way, we stop praying. Just keep praying. It may take a week. It may take a month. It may take a year. I wonder how many prayer requests that are still going to be in my prayer journal when I die. And you'll never see my journal. There's one man in this room, Brother Fanera, knows he picks it up. I'll give him one page of all the dates of the salvation of the kids. But other than that, he knows he's supposed to shred that. Can you imagine the day that you look and see my name was on there, pastor's praying I'd get saved. My name's on there. He's been praying. I'm backslidden. I get right with God. By the way, I don't see that in this room right now. May I say that you don't tell God, you don't get God on your timetable. You and I need to get on God's timetable. I want you to wait. I wish some pastors would just wait before they jump to do some things. Before we launch out and leave a ministry, or before we quit a ministry, or before we quit the ministry, or whatever, I wish you'd just wait. Well, God's leading me to quit my class. I'm not too sure about that. I don't believe God moves you from one area to another unless there's something to do. I don't give this illustration because maybe one time I've had a couple opportunities to move where I could get a lot of acres and a ranch and pastor a church with money in the bank and an easier life. But I'm telling you, friend, that's not the will of God for my life. Now, it might be for some other, Dr. Lee Robertson went to three other churches and landed at Highland Park for 40 years and 6 months. I don't know God's plan. But I tell you what, for me, when I came here, said, God, if these people let me stay 50 years, I'm going to give them 50 years of my life. And I didn't realize I was going to age very slow. I know most of you probably think I'm in my early 30s, but I'm a little bit older than that. But I've still got health and strength.
Amen.
And thank you, Brother Peter, one insane person just like me. I'm going to wait on God everywhere I go. When are you going to retire, Brother Treber? I'm not even praying about it. When are you going to quit? When are you going to relax? We're not. And I have, thank God, a good wife that's not pushing me either. I need the income. Oh, I mean, I don't need the, I don't, the income's not why I stay here. In fact, it'd be easier if I wasn't here. You know that. I just can't imagine how I could ever pillow my head at night and not hear that choir. I can't imagine it. That's not, you dear pastors that are moved around a few places, I'm not suggesting you're wrong. I've had more preachers call me in the last several years who retired. All but one are younger than me, and they said this. Not all of them, but many of them said, I've got a letter from some, worst decision I've ever made. And yet I understand it. You know, sometimes you just get tired of babysitting. God says, wait. They that wait upon the Lord.
Amen.
God wants you to wait, ladies and gentlemen. Don't rush God. Patience in prayer.
Yeah.
The place of prayer. Look at verse 13, the place. And when they were come up, were come into, they went up to the upper room. By the way, up is this chapter found seven times. Prayer takes you up when you go down. Prayer in the book of Acts, 94 times you'll find the word up. I like that word. It's like the word great in the Bible. I double underline it with red. I like great. If I write you an email, it's always capital G-R-E-A-T, great. Everything's great. I love great. I'm not going to be pessimistic of life. And I want to live on the upside. But they went up to an upper room. Look what he says. They went up to an upper room. Where's your place of prayer? You know, if you're like me, I have many places. When I drive to a meeting, if it's within about 4 or 5 hours or less, I'll drive. And I always go by myself. I don't listen to the radio. Unless it's KMBBC. I don't listen to sports. I sing. Oh, do I have a good voice? I don't know why you don't ask me to sing at this church. Oh, is it wonderful? It's not good. But I sing to the Lord. I get themes, you know this, I won't go on heaven or His love, our souls. I get themes of Calvary or the blood. I get themes. Trust in Him, confidence in Him, victory. And I sing and I pray. And I love to pray in my car. You know where I love to pray? I was out there this week, the cemetery. I try to stop by the markers in the different cemeteries around here, but particularly Santa Clara, where many of our people are laid to rest. There's other places as well. I love to go to the cemetery and just pray, walking through those markers. Always stopping off at Babyland and going to all those different places where we have people laid to rest and pray. I normally get there and pray for the families and just pray. You know what I love to do, and the last year it's been a little bit different for us. I love to go up on the levee on my bicycle. I don't ride for exercise. I ride up on the levee and go out to the salt flats. You get out to those salt flats 3.5 miles from here, and you could scream at your top of your lungs and no one hear you but the pigeons, the seagulls. I sing out there. I pray out there. You know what I like? I have an office upstairs. I like that office. You know, I love to come to my study and pray. Where's your place? My wife has a place, and I know that. I've never seen her prayer book, but one day I saw it. She was on the other side. She was going through it. I said, what are all those yellow markings? And she said, those are answered prayers. Where's your place of prayer? You sweet boys in the front down here in our high school and around here. I mean, it's getting serious now. I don't say this to be humorous. You're in 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade. You better be praying. And I don't mean this humorous at all. My son did this. You better be praying for your wife. You seniors in our school that graduated from high school, you better be praying, boys, for your wife. You may find her in the next year or two or three and get married after college. And Cole, how God brought your wife into to be this Saturday into your life. And Sarah from Texas, how God brought you two together. You're going to have a wonderful home. And Emre, I see you right there. And Jane, next month you're getting married. How God brought you together. Bought bus route 11, Easter Sunday 11 years ago, Christina knocked on your door. And from Colorado, God brought you here. And how God put your hearts together. Boys, you better pray for your wife. You're going to have to marry right. Where's your place of prayer? I tell you what, if you don't have a place, you're not praying. How do you raise kids without prayer? I find there's a patience in prayer. I find there's a place of prayer. And I'm going to hasten. I'll do my best. The people of prayer, verse 13. And they were all come together. And it lists the disciples, Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, and Zealous. And verse 14, they all continued to one accord in prayer. They just stayed together praying. The people of God had a place of prayer, the upper room. This an old song was written in the 60s, but in the last 2 or 3 months, I've been singing it all the time. I lost it on my phone again, Brother Martinez. You texted it to me, looking to have it playing. There's a place for all the weak and weary. Our chorale is going to sing in a couple weeks. A place where all can find real peace in the upper room with Jesus. All our cares and heartaches cease in the upper room with Jesus sitting at his nailed, scarred feet. Oh, what rich and full communion, fellowship divine and sweet. I sing it all the time. The people of God have to have a place. There's patience in prayer. There's place in prayer. There's the people of prayer. And we could say so much about that. The aged people were praying. The church in Acts 12 were praying. The participants. The purpose of prayer. Verse 24, to get direction. And they prayed and said, Lord, thou which knoweth the hearts of men, show whether the two of these thou hast chosen. The purpose of prayer is to give us this day our daily bread. The purpose is to get a direction from God. And by the way, we don't have to fault everyone else's direction. Well, the Lord led me. Maybe we're too judgmental on others. How about is God leading you? What's he doing? And the person of prayer, we'll close it with this, is in this text, verse 11, Jesus Christ. The Bible says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find help in the time of need. Do you know that God wants us to pray? In the Bible, there's all night praying. There's early morning praying. There's on the mountain praying. There's at the seashore praying. There's in a garden praying. There's praying by two or three. There's praying by church praying as they prayed together. There's the agent that gathered together for prayer. The most important ministry of this church is probably prayer, because prayer announces we're not capable. So many good things happened with COVID. One was those 472 days out there, how men's prayer meetings Saturday night grew in the cold winter months with and those tents and heaters going, fire pits going. And our men's prayer meeting for 40-some years at that time was always well attended, but it doubled and doubled and doubled, just kept coming. And you know, it hasn't ceased. In fact, we moved the Spanish out of our prayer meeting, and they go to their auditorium over there, and they pray Saturday night, big crowd. Last night, we had a huge crowd down here praying. We sang. The string bass was there last night. Some guitars were there last night. Trumpets were there last night. We sang, Brother Martinez, he gets us singing. We got testifying last night. We got praying last night. You see, you do that every Saturday night for 48 years. We have no activities after that other than college. It's a different, somewhat of a, we have no youth activities after prayer meeting, 8 o'clock, everything has to be done. Because the last thing we want to close the week out is with prayer. I'm going to ask you to pray.
Yes, amen.
I'm going to ask couples to pray together. Ms. Trevor knows I pray at night when we go to bed, and it's not very good. It's nothing to write home about. It's not like, you know, John the Baptist is praying. But we pray. And many of your names have been brought up there, and our kids, we love them so much. There's things to pray about. I promise you, I probably will be up sometime tonight. I'll be in prayer. And unless you think it's all so great, I can't sleep, so I'll go to prayer. And sometimes in prayer, I fall asleep. I know I don't want to paint this picture that you have the greatest prayer warrior. But I try. God knows through the night hours I try. And in the early morning, I don't get up at 4 o'clock. I never have an alarm. Never. Don't need it. But I don't care what time I go to bed. I'll wake up at 4 o'clock. But by 5 o'clock, I'm up. Last week, I went to bed. And I could not sleep all night. It got 4 o'clock. I said, Lord, I need 1 hour tonight. And from 4 to 5, you let me sleep. But I had an appointment with God at 5 o'clock. And I had to meet that appointment. I don't know if my mind was very clear. And I don't think it was very earth-shattering prayer time. But I prayed. Because I have been hired. My job is Acts 6:4. We got deacons in the Bible in Acts 6 because preachers needed help, and they said, we will give ourselves, pastors, to prayer and to the Word of God. You say, wow, that must be an awesome job. That's an easy job. As we close, I'd rather work, if you want an easy job, 8 hours with a shovel digging a trench. Prayer, that would be more relaxing to me, because prayer, you put energy in it, all your emotions are shot. You're worn out. I don't know how to tell you, just prayer wrenches your heart. I can look at some of those prayer requests on my journal. I think, God, why would this little girl do this? She knows better. Why would this fella, why would he live this way? He knows better. You stay long enough in a large church, you see some kids become alcoholics and drug addicts and God haters. But can I tell you something, as a pastor, he's like a parent. Those are still our kids. Those kids that are not turned out right, they might think, oh, Treber hates us now. Church hates us, North Valley, they hate us. Oh, no. Just the opposite. I know they won't probably pray for me, but I pray for them. There's got to be someone that intercede. I still believe that in the Bible you get prodigal kids. I believe those prodigal kids can come home to God. And I believe that God can still do something with their lives. Our Father, tonight, I'm so burdened about prayer. I've been trying to pray these last few months more than ever. And I've had so many distractions. And I've had so many things that cause my mind to wander. But God, you know, I've been trying to keep these appointments with you in prayer. And I pray that we'd get teenagers to pray and children to pray and adults to pray and senior saints to pray. I would imagine if I ask, and I'm not going to, who needs to improve their prayer life? I would imagine in this crowd, everyone raise their hand. Mine would be first up. I asked preachers in Chicago, I asked them in another message in Georgia, could you give 15 minutes a day to prayer? 15? That's nothing a preacher should not. 15 minutes, you got to be kidding me. I wonder if we could get every preacher in America to pray 15 minutes a day for 40 days. And then 40 days from now, if you could add just maybe another 5 minutes. Church members, I wonder, could I ask you this? Oh, this is so light. And imagine you're all doing this. Could you pray 10 minutes a day? 10. 10 minutes a day. Could you promise God? I'm not even going to look. Normally as a pastor, I look. I'm looking at the ground. It's between you and God. So I'm going to do my best every day, 7 days a week, for 40 days, 10 minutes a day. Would you let God see your hand right now? Put it up, please. You may put them down. Lord, I wish I could have seen that sight. I just felt like I was impressed by the Holy Spirit not to look. I would imagine every hand just went up. God, please, 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 may this be, my house shall be called a house of prayer. How in the world can I ever be a good husband without prayer? How in the world could I ever be a good pastor without prayer? A good dad, good papa. Or these teenagers deserve a pastor that prays. Help us.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.